Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're back.
Yeah, I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm here. This week, we're going to be talking about Junior Eurovision. So I've decided we're all going to talk in baby voices for the rest of the show.
Oh.
Well, the theme music, please.
Hi, welcome to 12 Points for America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, home of Kids Bop, volumes 1 through 96. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Oh, I'm Derek.
And Derek. Derek's still on the show.
What?
And yeah, we're going to be talking about Junior Eurovision for the bulk of the show. But before we do that, we want to remind you that you can reach out to us on social media at 12pointsUSA on Twitter and Facebook, at 12pointsforamerica.com, and 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. That's the one.
That's the one.
Still bad at it.
That's okay.
Still really bad at it.
12 points. Let me see you 12 points.
That's right.
That's all I think about.
Just remember.
Mm-hmm.
Keep dancing for us, Danny.
Sometimes I email the accounts from Yahoo Mail accounts that I've set up just to keep us on our toes.
Mm.
They do exist.
Right, yes. People still use Yahoo Mail.
Aw.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's still on Yahoo.
Really?
Yeah.
Whenever I see like a readout of like business contacts or like fellow coworkers and I see someone has a Yahoo Mail account still, I'm like, things haven't changed much since 7th grade, have they?
Oh, he's doing fine. It's my brother, friend of the show.
Ah, good.
Shout out to...
Friend of surely someone in this room.
Yeah.
We do have some legitimate news this week.
We do. We have lots of news, actually.
Uh-huh.
Oh, in our last episode, we talked about possible voting changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to happen.
No. Now they were monkeying around with the idea of potentially that they could hypothetically switch around the voting system, make it not the 50-50 jury.
I think that the voting system right now is fair. It's a bicameral legislature. The American Constitution has taught us anything. It's that a two-chamber legislature.
I don't think you're making the
checks.
Argument you think
you
are.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
You're not doing yourself any favors
at all.
So it's going to stay with an electoral college.
Okay.
And somehow San Marino is going to win every year from now on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Some other 2020 news.
Mm-hmm.
Bulgaria!
Yay!
We've got Bulgaria back. I'm so excited.
Very,
I'm so
very
excited.
Happy.
They've been so good in the recent years that they've competed, and they will finally be back.
Yep.
It's very, very, very exciting.
After a year off. And you know what? I'm just kind of going to put this out there. Big wishful thinking. There were a couple years running where the country would step out for a year, and then they would step back
and
in.
And they come back and they make a big splash.
They would win it.
Yeah!
That happened with Portugal.
I know
that happened with Ukraine. Granted, Ukraine is coming back again this year, so I think we're going to be seeing a big, you know, Ukraine v. Bulgaria head-to-head.
That'd be great.
Yeah. We will know who Bulgarian National Television are sending on November 25th. They've actually just come out and said, like, we know...
That's very early.
Yeah, we don't know if they're going to release the song that day or just the artist, but at least we'll have a name, which is so cool.
You think there's any chance we'll see a repeat? Could we see Chris again? Could we see Polly again?
Polly has certainly been teasing it, but I think that's also because she's just a social media maven.
Could it be Ally Ryan?
Has she finally found a home?
No. Well, we'll know on November 25th.
Yeah, Ally Ryanova. Yeah.
It's just like in that movie, The Terminal. She's forced to live in all these airports until she finds somewhere that'll accept her. What's the tally up to now, do we know, of participating countries in 2020?
It's approximately 41, I think.
Nice.
We are saying hello again, like I said, to Bulgaria and Ukraine, but we are most likely, hasn't been officially confirmed, but signs are pointing to... We say sia to, I think it's how you say goodbye in Hungary.
See ya.
to Hungary.
Which is a shame because I've liked their songs in the past.
They could have brought Aviesh back.
Yeah, I appreciate their presence.
As do I. But they're having their national final next year, but they've specifically said it's not for the purposes of selecting a Eurovision song. It's just to like have a song contest for the domestic audience.
Gotcha.
So
we'll have our own.
Just to keep that going. They're going to take a year off, just like Bulgaria, Ukraine did, to find themselves.
So
they can
be...
come back and...
Yeah, so you're saying Budapest 2022?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
2 weeks in the Gellert baths.
I'll be so pruney. Or what other cities in Bulgaria would we even go to?
I'm talking Hungary, but...
I mean,
Bulgaria would be Sofia. It would be the big capital where they've got the arena.
Unless Netta says it's going to be... Sofia, in which case
it's... We're off to Varna.
That's
we
right.
Are. Yeah.
And Burgas, Veliko Tarnovo. Yeah, I mean, there are many cities, but I think there's really only like one or two arenas of that size.
It's got to be, just for infrastructure alone, would have to be Sofia.
Yeah.
No, Hungary's still going to do their thing. We also have some news about Albania's contest.
They're kind of the Iowa caucuses of Eurovision.
That's the...
I feel like...
They really are.
Are people in... Are listeners in Europe going to know what that means?
Nope.
Nope.
They know what
Listen,
the Iowa caucus is.
Okay, I'll explain. Iowa is a place in the United States where all of the corn and cows vote on who they think should run for president.
And that explains so much.
This is more accurate than they think it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to Iowa, friend of the show.
If we piss Iowa off, the entire state and all of its
cattle, what are they going to do?
Storm over our border and, you know, poo on things. I don't know. But Albania, they are the first national final. Festival I Këngës, which literally just means song contest or song festival.
Song contest!
Yes. Which, interestingly enough, has been going on in Albania for longer than they've been participating at Eurovision.
I was
going
to say, probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's been going on since the 60s, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Like the early 60s. And they kind of morphed that into a national final. So we do have dates for that. December 19th and 20th will be semifinal. December 22nd will be the final. The songs they'll release in the next couple of weeks. The Festival I Këngës, many fans refer to it as our Fikmas. It is our little Christmas
just a
present
couple days
from,
before Christmas. From Albania.
From Albania.
Lovely.
A country that was, you know, forced atheism for many, many years.
Yes, so, had no
ironic
real
that we
Christmas
get a Christmas
for
present
decades.
From them. But,
yes.
But yeah, so really excited about that. If you're actually looking for a bit of insight on Festival I Këngës, I did a really cool interview with their head of delegation while we were in Tel Aviv. So if you hop over to escinsight.com, check out the podcast, the audio recording that I did with head of delegation Claire Durai. Really cool guy. Just talking about the history of the contest, what it means to Albania, what it means for them to be at Eurovision, and where he sees it going in the future. But
sweet.
Our immediate future, we'll have Albanian song by the end of the year.
Neat. Iceland's national final is also on the move.
Yeah.
Seems like all you have to do is have a weird BDSM metal act at Eurovision for people to get interested in it.
Yep.
Who'd have thunk?
They're,
United Kingdom, pick it up.
You know what to do.
I know.
You cowards.
Wouldn't it be wild if we had like 10 clearly Hotterly influenced songs in Rotterdam?
It would be wild and it would be great.
Yeah. Oh. And it seems not entirely implausible.
The Euroclub would be banging. Oh. And by banging, I really mean flogging.
I looked back.
Or banging.
I looked back at their performance at the finals last year. It was, for so long, we just accepted Hattori as a matter of fact, but now, after having, like, you know, not been in the Eurovision thing for, like, 6 months, and then going back and watching it, that was insane. How did they do it? These people are crazy. Do it again. Looking at all of you, UK, Bulgaria, you're fresh back. Do it. Go nuts.
Yeah.
Be sure to put them right after the Michael Rice equivalent next year as
well.
Yeah, just everybody feeling just nice and pleasant, and all of a sudden just...
Extreme juxtaposition as I can... Yeah,
yeah.
Do it.
It was great. So, Iceland's submissions to their national final are up 20%, and that's got to be Hattori effect,
well, it's
right?
Between Hattori and the fact that it's not being held in Israel, I think a lot of artists were actually very public in Iceland saying we're not going to submit a song to the national final because we don't necessarily want to perform in Israel, which is their right. That's their decision, you know, it's their artistic choice. But now that it's in a more politically inoffensive or in, what's the rest of the way to put it? Problematic. Unproblematic location with, you know, a short flight.
Listen,
relatively speaking.
Holland has its own political issues, but at least it's not, you know, a battleground.
Between the success of Hattori and the location, I think a lot of interest has kind of been picked up again. So,
yes, they're kind of returning to to something a little bit more neutral.
Yeah, very excited about that. But speaking of Hattori, there's new Hattori music. They do have a new single out. It is something fabulous and completely unpronounceable to me. But the video, NSFW, but...
a little bit.
NSFW, yeah, but it's brilliant. Just make sure the kids are in the other room.
Mm-hmm. We've also got new Loic.
Yeah, came out with an EP on Halloween called Candy, and like a 20-minute mini movie of a music video that's just very crazy and artistic. So
Danny looks confused.
Oh.
This is before his time, I think.
Who is Loic?
Loic, you have such a wonderful journey ahead of you.
I was like, Does Loic yoik?
Loic does not yoik.
Loic, Loic could yoik if he put his mind to it, because that guy can do whatever the hell he wants.
My favorite Dr. Seuss book.
Loic can yoik. Oh, God. His whole post-Eurovision career has been pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so rewinding a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Loic Nateh was the Belgian representative in 2015. Came in fourth place with a song called Rhythm Inside. And it was...
Inside?
The Rhythm Inside.
They put the rhythm inside.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because if you put it outside, it just gets messy and you have to mop it up everywhere. Yeah,
it's going
to
get...
Yeah, the rhythm is inside. But yeah, absolutely amazing song. Had Suri on backing vocals that year.
Cool.
But he's an incredible singer, dancer, composer, young talent. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So to see him continuing to have such great success, more power to him.
He's great. Yeah. That song was, I think, pretty strongly influenced by Royals. Sort of that minimalist pop thing.
Sure.
Only he had a bigger... grander voice.
Yeah. The guy can belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, actually, really good voice.
Why don't we play a little clip of Rhythm Inside?
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Hit it. We can fly tomorrow on the beautiful wind that blows on a cosmic track. Love attack. I'm gonna get that rhythm back. We're gonna rap up, up, rap up, up. We're gonna rap up, up tonight. Rap up, up, rap up, up. Loic Nateh, we love you.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Yeah, so Candy by Loic Nateh and Klaumstraukur is the song from Hatteri. I was able to pronounce it, I think.
What does it mean?
Clown striker.
Clown striker. I think it actually means porno boy, but I'm not positive.
Oh. Ooh. So it is clown striker.
Well, hey.
Ooh. We'll cut that out.
No, we're not.
Yeah, it's taken.
Yeah, according to the wonderful folks at Google Translate, clown striker means porn boy.
Porn boy. My favorite reject from Justice League.
Oh, wow.
He was rejected.
Okay.
Listen.
Moving on.
In other new Eurovision-related music news, this is like a dream come true for Sam and myself.
So happy. So random.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kaino.
Yeah.
Plus Electric Fields.
Yeah.
Collaborating together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So that's going to be really exciting. I have no idea what that's going to sound like. To get an idea, let's play a clip of Spirit in the Sky and 2000 and whatever at the same time.
So this is just a wonderful, crazy combination that I'm really excited to see where the hell this
is. It probably won't sound like that, though.
No. But yeah, Kaino's on tour in Australia, and then they happened to be in Electric Fields' hometown. I think they're from Brisbane, maybe? I can't remember exactly. Don't. But they're like, hey, we're in the same town. Let's collaborate. Because I think Kaino wants their focus of their new album to be pop mixed with indigenous sounds from around the world. So with Electric Fields having this really cool mix of electropop and Australian Aboriginal First Nations squished together in this wonderful brilliance, what goes better with that than yoiking?
I suppose. So, he can yoik, Danny.
He can yoik.
Yeah. Fred can yoik. All right, moving on.
Yeah, when you put it that way, that really seems like a good...
nice little flavor combination.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I just want to hear more Electric Fields music like all the damn time, so...
Hopefully they'll come back.
I hope so.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to try again.
I hope so. And if not, then just, you know, keep on recording. I'll keep listening. Anyway, we have had a couple of random treats for us in the U.S. entertainment media.
That's true.
We had a couple of name checks of Eurovision, and we just flocked to that like a goose to a breadcrumb. Ha!
As geese do.
Before it, you know, attacks a small British village.
Yes. Yeah, I got a text from...
from a goose?
No. From an actual friend of the show. Our friend Ashley sent a picture of a page of Us Weekly magazine showing some filming footage of the Eurovision movie that Will Ferrell is working on. He was in full Icelandic singer costume, and it is about what I expected from that. So shout out to Ashley, friend of the show, for sending us that. And People magazine apparently also noted an old Eurovision connection.
Really that old. I mean, she's, you know, 2017, but a former one, not necessarily like decades ago, but so 2017, Belgian representative, back to Belgium, Blanche. She was name-checked in People magazine as one of the people who were performing at the 18th birthday celebrations for the Crown Princess of Belgium.
Ah.
They are peers, and Blanche sang City Lights, her song.
Nice little acoustic version of Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
was great.
It was really good.
It's a really nice little performance. It's up on YouTube and so forth. But yeah, apparently the Crown Princess Elizabeth stands Eurovision, which is great.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Princess Elizabeth, friend of the show. We were looking forward to some news from the MTV EMA Awards, the European Music Awards, and we've got some really great Eurovision connections.
My boy, Mahmoud, wins for Italy.
Darn right he does.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's the best won for Italy.
He's the best Italian act. He's the first person to win that since Verdi. Giuseppe Verdi.
One best Italian act. That's it. Mm-hmm. It was him, then Enrico Caruso for 50 years, then Mahmoud. Nice job.
Nice work. I saw a picture of, I think he put it on like his Instagram story or something, but Mahmoud was celebrating by clutching a giant, and I really mean giant, like it was almost as big as he was, or it looked like it anyway, a giant stuffed Charmander. And so that's pretty wholesome. He's very wholesome. So congrats to Mahmoud.
And congrats to Charmander for being hugged by Mahmoud.
That's right.
What are they called Charmander in Italy?
Charmandero.
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 No, it's pronounced the same. You just have to do the right hand gestures with it.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Charmander. Best Polish act, also Eurovision adjacent.
Yeah.
Was
Junior Eurovision adjacent.
Indeed. Yeah, well, yes.
Nice little segue here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Our girl Roxy Weigl, who won Junior Eurovision last year, she's what, like 14 years old, and she's already won the EMA for Best Polish Act, like beating the grown-up, so good for her. She's actually going to be hosting the show in Gliwice in November, so really, really cool for her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she gets to, you know, go to the EMAs, which is amazing for any teenager.
Mm-hmm. Get to hang out with Mahmoud.
Yeah.
And?
Lucky girl.
And?
Most importantly.
And, you know what it's time for, Danny?
What?
Maruv, our favorite non-Eurovision act from 2019, has won the award for Best Russian Act.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Uncomfortable questions abound. I mean...
Best Russian Act.
I mean, she does have a large market there. Like, yeah, she does. She is popular there.
That's a big reason why she ended up... making the decision to decline, because that's the bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get it. And the EMAs, I guess, have rewarded that decision. And she also, we have even more Maruv news. She announced a new EP that is going to be out November 8th, which should be, by the time you're listening to this, you will be able to check out the new Maruv EP.
Super cool. Really excited about that.
And that brings a conclusion to...
All right, and we wrap up our Eurovision news segment with a bit of a sad note, as unfortunately happens from time to time. We do say goodbye to another beloved member of the Eurovision family.
A performer that even I know about.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of our dancing grannies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the littlest granny. The granny who took the buns out of the oven.
Tiny Russian granny.
Yeah. Natalia Pugacheva of the Buranovskaya Babushki passed away just a few weeks ago at the age of 83. Amazing little woman, and her troupe just charmed the hearts of Europe in 2012 in Baku. Party for everybody. It was infectious. It was absolutely infectious. And part of the reason was little Natalia. Thoughts go out to her family, her loved ones.
Godspeed, Natalia.
Natalia, da svidaniya. Love you.
She's baking bread in heaven now.
She's going to be eating the Russian equivalent of whatever those strawberry candies are here in heaven.
Aww. That's weird, but sweet. Like the strawberry candies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I like that song.
This all works out. Mm-hmm. We will send off our beloved Natalia Pugacheva with a little bit from their Eurovision national final song from 2010. Delanya delani bereste i kak sledati z nej shon, or Very Long Birch Bark and How to Turn It Into a Headdress. All right, we looked back to the life of Natalia Pugacheva. We look forward now to Gliwice 2019, Junior Eurovision. Really excited.
Junior Eurovision.
Nobody calls it that.
As I like to say, anyway, and I think maybe Danny likes to say.
JUN_UROvision.
Yeah.
Junior Eurovision.
And the R is backwards like Toys R Us.
Yes, yeah. It's really nice. For the kids.
But that confuses the Russians. The Toys Ya Us?
It's fine. They can be confused.
Yeah.
So, I have a soft spot in my heart for Junior Eurovision, but I know that you guys are somewhat newer to this.
Mm-hmm. Newer.
What kind of questions do you have about Junior Eurovision? Where should we start?
Well, I guess what I want to know is, why is Junior Eurovision?
Why not?
Oh, okay.
And that's our show. No,
solved it.
For what reason was it actually started? I know it was started in the early 2000s, but mm-hmm. for what reason did they say, you know what, I think the kids should get on this?
It was actually kind of lovingly stolen, much in the way that Senior Eurovision was, kind of adopted from the Sanremo Festival.
Is it Italy? Oh, it's Italy again,
isn't it? It was stolen from Italy.
Of course.
But Junior Eurovision was kind of stolen lovingly from...
Sweden?
Pan-Scandinavia.
I knew it. I'm so good at this Eurovision junk now.
Take that, Vikings.
But yeah, back around 2000, Danish radio had a song for local kids, or a contest for local kids, mm-hmm. that ended up getting grown into a pan-Scandinavian festival called MGP Nordic. And the EBU kind of took that and ran with it and kind of expanded it even further. So Junior Eurovision was first aired in 2003. It's a fall contest rather than like the spring contest that you have at senior. So you have a nice little six-month span, give or take, between senior and junior. It's a nice
to maximize the audience.
Exactly.
Maximize interest. Is it like regular Eurovision, where it started out with like five or six countries, and then they only gradually picked up steam?
No, actually, it's been pretty constant. First contest had about 16 entrants, and it's had as few as 12 back in like 2012, 2013, and then it picked up again. Last year, when it was held in Minsk, it had its record high numbers.
92
countries. Countries that don't even exist. No, last year there were 20, this year there are 19 mm-hmm. that are going to be into the 2019 country.
Gotcha.
Interesting that we're going to have some entries this year from countries that don't actually participate either at all or independently at Senior Eurovision. Kazakhstan, much like Australia was given a sort of an invitation to mm-hmm. Senior, Kazakhstan was given an invitation to Junior, and they've actually done pretty well. They debuted last year and came in sixth place, I want to say.
Not bad.
And Wales actually participates independently of the rest of the United Kingdom.
Like the animals?
Yes.
Ah. Neat. They represent the Pacific Garbage Patch.
The Wales in Cardiff.
It's going to be tricky when the Wales win and we have to hold Junior Eurovision
underwater.
On one of the oil rigs.
I was going to say underwater.
Ooh, like Rapture?
Yes.
Because that... That didn't backfire.
I thought it was going to be like the underwater city in The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's probably better than Rapture.
Like nuclear subs. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Probably a better reference, too.
Yeah,
so nice work.
Pyrotechnics on nuclear subs. That's not going to turn out well.
No,
but until then, it'll be fine.
Listen, Eurovision always comes with its risks.
Fair. So yes, Wales does actually participate independently of the rest of the United Kingdom. Because the BBC is sort of like the umbrella organization that covers all of the constituent countries, doesn't participate. Broadcasters like S4C, which is the Welsh broadcaster, or BBC Alba, which is the Scottish broadcaster.
Jessica's brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was sort of the fluffy white sheep of the family. But yeah, they could step up and say, hey, we'll do it if their big brother doesn't want to go, which is why you have both Wales and Scotland participating at the Eurovision choir competition, for example.
Did we discuss the way that the host city is selected in the dead time? So we're in Gliwice this year.
Yes.
Poland,
mm-hmm.
a third tier city that I've never heard of. How did they get selected? It's not the winner, like with regular Eurovision.
Right.
Standard Eurovision.
Right. I mean, so sometimes it is.
They kind of get right of first refusal. Like, Poland won last year, so Poland was like, hey, we'll do it, we'll pick it up.
Yes.
But they basically were like, where do we have an arena that can hold this? And the folks in Warsaw were like, we actually don't really have a place in Warsaw that can do it. So they're,
Is there, though? I don't actually
according
know.
According to them.
They're not there, not like... You know, like Lvov or like Krakow, we couldn't, you know.
Looking at this, there were seven different cities that tossed their hats into the ring. Smallest arena that was put in their hat into the ring was in Szczecin, which had about 7,000. Largest was in Krakow, which was about 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Gliwice actually had the second largest arena, and that's at about 17,000. And it was only built in the last year, so it is, you know, super spanking new, shiny.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's like
the
how,
kids
you know,
like when it's shiny.
Yeah, it's like how, who gets to host the Super Bowl this year? Whoever has the newest stadium.
It kinda,
that's the answer.
It kind of went that
okay.
way.
Okay.
But yeah, it was. Gliwice is about 30 kilometers away from Katowice, which is a larger city. It's got more hotels. It's got a pretty decently sized airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not too hard to get to. So,
there's this brand spanking new, pretty good size arena in this city that is not super on the map. I mean, it's on the map, but it's you know what I mean.
I mean, it's not like a tiny little hamlet. Gliwice is it's the 19th biggest city in the country, but that's about.
So it's like Cleveland.
I wouldn't insult Gliwice.
The Miami. The Miami of Poland.
They've got about 180,000 people within the city itself, but it's part of a metro area of like 4.5 million.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes a lot more sense in that context. So what is the arena normally used for? Is there a basketball team or something?
I don't believe so. It's a multi-purpose indoor arena. I do not believe it has a specific team that is linked to it.
Equestrian.
But it is a
blood sport.
It's already been used for a couple of different concerts. Armin van Buuren was there last year. Slayer, Scorpion. So like this very interesting mix of who's playing Eastern European sports.
Roller derby.
Slayer featuring Junior Eurovision. I like it.
Love it.
I would go to that.
It is the site, or it will be the site of the 2023 World Men's Handball Championship,
which is
pretty cool. But otherwise, it's still so new. I mean, it only opened up last May, so it doesn't.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like emotional.
They haven't had a single Harry Styles concert.
Yeah.
Not yet.
What are the stipulations of who gets to compete in Eurovision? Which is Junior Eurovision for people who don't have time.
Like Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's got time?
Eurovision. Who gets to compete? What countries get to compete? Etc.
Countries, it's a lot like senior. You either have a full broadcaster at the EBU or you have a special invitation, like in the case of Kazakhstan or Australia. The singers themselves have to be between the ages of 9 and 14. Interestingly enough, there's this like strange donut hole that 15-year-olds fall into because you have to be 16 in order to participate at senior year.
15-year-olds don't interact.
They do not exist.
No.
No dreams for them.
They just seal themselves into their bedrooms and pout for a year.
At what is probably the worst. I don't know about you guys, but when I was 15, that was a terrible year. Being 15 sucked. What if I was a Eurovision artist? I just finished Junior Eurovision. 14. Awesome. I am ready to go to Senior Eurovision. Not allowed. Wait 2 years.
Yeah.
You suck.
You have to ferment a little more.
That's it. I wonder if there's a reason.
I don't really know specifically.
There's
it wasn't
a prophecy
really addressed.
About Eurovision and 15-year-olds.
Well... Yes, if it ever happens again, the world explodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like Cabin in the Woods.
We'll talk a little bit about this when we talk about our Junior Eurovision to Eurovision graduates, so we have a whole segment coming up about that. That there's only been one singer that kind of went directly from junior to senior.
Serhat. Like you guys don't know this. Serhat is actually 17 years old.
Yeah. That guy needs to stay out of the sun.
Yeah. He has a genetic disease.
He's been smoking since he was 4. We love you, Serhat.
One of the caveats, one of the reasons when they did change this 14, 15 age bracket, some of the folks in the EBU were saying, well, there's a big difference between the maturity vocally and physically between a 14-year-old or 15-year-old girl versus a 14 or 15-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of wanted to level things out a little bit by, I don't know, making that little donut hole, I guess. I don't know exactly what the reasoning was specifically, but that was something that they did cite.
Are we reasoning that the ages 9 to 14, as opposed to, say, 15 and 16, like the vocal registers are fairer at that age?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I mean, there have been a number of cases where boys will come up to Junior Eurovision and their voices are not fully developed quite yet.
Sounds horrible.
Or that they are developed for boys, but then they become men.
Yes, that is fair. They go
from
they
boys.
Go down,
they go,
they
from
go down
boys,
to the end of the road.
Or you could with, they with go their, from boys to
adults.
Men.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Adults. Yes.
There's always the option for castrados. You could bring it back.
That's right. Let's bring back castrados. That's
Junior
Eurovision.
Castrado vision. I love it. Let's do it.
Castrado
Italy can finally win.
I don't know you people. I don't know you people. Get out of my house.
Okay. I'm going to go start castrado vision.
That's the American Eurovision that they've been teasing us about for ages.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's just Eric is finally helming Castratovision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the twist you did not see coming.
Finally,
in
boys,
multiple ways.
Ugh. Boys' voices won't break in the middle of rehearsals.
Which
you
has
told me
happened.
About this earlier, yes.
Yeah, that happened a couple years ago with a singer from, I believe he was what is now North Macedonia, that they had the song all picked out and everything like that, and he gets to rehearsals, and then his voice cracks. And when you do that, because the backing track, like it's Senior Eurovision, that's not live music. The backing track, as well as the backing vocals, are recorded. They're pre-recorded.
So they can't just transpose this down for his voice or anything.
No.
It's just like...
So he had to basically change his entire vocal part in order for it to fit his vocal range, which is now
like
in
down
octaves.
A fifth or like down an octave? Like,
I...
Because when the voice... When the boy's voice drops, it... I don't know why I did that voice. I had to add in my accent of the week. When the boy's voice drops, it doesn't always go down just like a perfect like octave.
Yeah.
That had to have been terrible. That had to have been awful.
It was... He was having fun with it. He knew his lot in life. He knew exactly the situation that he was in. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there, smile.
Yeah,
and...
I mean, there's not a... If there's really nothing he can do, he's got to just...
make the best of it.
Yeah.
Which he did, you know.
Yeah, and how did he end up finishing?
Not very well.
Okay.
Oh.
That's to be expected, I guess. I mean, was it a case where he was projected to do really well and then...
Not particularly.
And then, bam, puberty, and then, no, okay.
No, it wasn't tipped to be one of the winners that year. That was Jimmy Ovoy Frak by Dorian Dlaka, or I Swear by This Tailcoat. I kid you
Man.
Not.
It's a Nikolai Gogol story.
I was going all of these sound like they've been translated out of a Star Trek like language into English. I love being American.
Speaking of which, the second winner ever, we recently learned, and in terms of by point margin, there have been a lot of very close Junior Eurovisions. There have been 2 1-point winners,
mm-hmm.
but one of the biggest winners of all time, 2004 from Spain, Maria Isabel, is called... Sam, your Spanish is considerably better than mine. Why don't you...
Antes muerta que sencilla.
Ah. Which means...
Better dead than plain.
Yes!
Or better Ooh. Dead than ugly. Ooh. Better dead than simple. There's no really great way to... in that.
The words we can all not live by.
But this song is so dang catchy.
Is it though?
It
Let's
really
find
is.
Out.
Let's play a clip. So again, that was Maria Isabel with Better Dead Than Red, and...
dude.
I do have to admit, it is catchy.
Yeah.
But who wrote that?
She did, at the time.
That's right. Okay, so we haven't touched on this yet.
Yes.
That the songwriting stipulations for Junior Eurovision have changed over the years.
Yes.
That song was from 2004, 2003? So 2004. So that was only the second year,
mm-hmm.
which was back when they had to write the songs.
Yes. That they had to be the primary songwriter of the song, which is really impressive for some of these songs.
Yeah.
Like, you know that some of these songs are actually really nicely constructed little pop songs, and you kind of, you know, they're catchy as hell. And some of them are, you know, very, very kiddie. And over the years, you've seen the number of singers who are the songwriters kind of decrease, and the number of more professional grown-up songwriters kind of increase.
Mm-hmm.
The rule has kind of been lifted, so it's kind of fair game. And I think with that, we're kind of seeing a transition from a lot of the songs that have won in the early years being very, very kiddie, very juvenile, very, very youthful.
Sesame Street.
Not
is
necessarily
it?
That extreme.
More in that direction, though.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more fun and fluffy and,
yeah, okay.
and kitty, rather than a lot more the...
Having some...
Bit
like,
more maturity.
Yeah, some like solid artistic worth.
Right.
Which is not to poop on these kids.
No,
but,
no,
you know.
Of course. I mean, but you're seeing...
Which
you,
is different.
You just suggest you that you were going to poop on those kids.
Metaphorically.
Oh.
Yeah, my metaphorical poop. Yes. Yes, I would, and I'm doubling down on it right now. You know how, like, you know, I mean, you know, there's
oh,
like
good job right there.
Sesame
yeah.
Street.
Moving on.
There's like Sesame Street stuff, and that's its own echelon of children's song.
Right, like the things that we talked about in earlier episodes. We talked about Biscabby from Georgia.
Yeah, we did.
Oh yeah, brilliance. That was Biscabby, and then we saw songs like the song that won the year afterwards was a song called Click Clack by Ralph Machenbach for the Netherlands. That was all about, I'm a kid who loves to dance. Yay! And it was wonderful. And 2 years later, there's a song called Candy Music from a group called Candy. Just talking about how great candy is. And, you know, this is also the country that gave us a song called Funky Lemonade. And there's a lot, you know, these are grants that are...
I had a sip of the Funky Lemonade about a couple of years ago, and I wasn't the same since.
College is an interesting time for
yes.
me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But since, in the last couple of years, we've seen a lot more of a maturity level rising. Singers have been tackling much more important, much bigger concepts. The song that won for Russia in 2017, a song called Wings, or Krylya, if you look at the music video, it's basically about child abuse and all of that. And last year there was a song from Ukraine, it's called Say Love, that many people thought was pretty mature, that it's from the point of view of a Ukrainian child who is witnessing war and all the emotions that that is bringing up in her. And that's not necessarily something that we would have seen a long time ago.
Was it a pretty abrupt change to the more mature stuff, or did it happen fairly gradually?
I think in terms of the winning songs having that, it was pretty abrupt. Like, you kind of see a line between 2011 and 2012 between Candy Music and the song called Nebo, which means heaven, for Ukraine's Anastasia Petrik. That was a lot more dark, atmospheric. Like, you would not have expected I think she was 12 when she won, for that voice to come out of that. And it was very kind of whoa. But it kind of tagged a beginning of songs that are a little bit more mature taking the crown. It's really interesting because, you know, we talk about the differences between a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 16-year-old, but what resonates with a 9-year-old viewer could be completely different from what resonates with a 14-year-old viewer.
Mm-hmm. Are the voters kids?
I don't know.
Was the voters kids?
It
okay.
Could. Well, for a long time, there would be a grown-up jury, a kids jury, and a televote.
Oh, okay.
Now it's just I believe it's just a grown-up jury and a mass vote.
And it's one televote, not like one set of points per country, right?
It's an internet vote, so you can't really call it a televote, but it's an app vote, basically.
Gotcha.
It's going to be very interesting.
Let's do a comparison kind of between these two things. Let's start with a more recent winner. Sam, what should we go with?
My thought for a more recent... You know, why don't we just go with last year's winner, Roxy Wiegel, Anyone I Want to Be, for Poland. It was
from Poland, yes.
Poland's first year, first win. This is the girl who, like I said, just won the EMA for Best Polish Act.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes to show, like, how much people have taken to her. Just so cool.
That is really, really cool. Yeah. So yeah, this is Roxy Wiegel. Derek!
Life's never really that cold, wise. There's more to wait than meets the eye. I speak my mind and I know I can be anyone I want to be.
All right, that's cool. Here's an example of kind of the older winners that I don't think we could leave out of the show today.
Bring it.
This is the winner from 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2008. It is Biskebi with Bzzz, and it goes like this. So, we played this one other time in a previous episode, but just to recap, that's 3 10-year-olds dressed as bees making bee noises for 3 minutes, and it won.
Yep.
It won.
Yep.
Eurovision. And it won pretty decisively,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, decently so, yeah.
Pretty great.
Yep. All you have to do is be classic Eurovision, which is just be crazy outlandish. Like, guess what we're going to send to Junior Eurovision? We're going to send 3 kids in bee costumes, and they're going to be buzzing.
And that used to work, but it doesn't
yeah,
really
not anymore.
Anymore.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's, you know, we have to trade off some of the novelty and some of that delightful weirdness that I personally love about Eurovision at large. Yeah. And instead exchange it for, you know, who has time for legitimate artistic integrity anymore? I want bees!
Don't we all? Do you think at some point there will be a throwback to that sort of thing and it'll suddenly do well? Or is the time just passed? The ship sailed?
I think right now if you ask your average 14-year-old, would they rather watch and vote for a song about something that is relevant to them now, or whether they would rather watch 3 kids dressed as bees, what would your average line in Grand
Theft? I'm split. I can say I was in very many moods when I was a kid.
Hard to say.
It's hard to say. At this point, I think it would take a lot to kind of bring it back to those earlier days.
Fair enough. Even more bees. Got it.
Okay. Yep. Double down. Yep. Double down on the bees.
Have there been a lot of artists who have done Junior Eurovision and not Junior Eurovision?
Yeah, there's actually been quite a few crossovers. Some of them we actually saw, or one of them we actually saw this year at Senior Eurovision.
Who was that?
Nevena Bozovic, who sang for Serbia this year with the...
Oh, I really liked that song.
Yeah, Kruna, yeah. So she sang for Serbia at Junior Eurovision 2007. came in, I believe, third place, which is really pretty pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then she actually performed twice at Senior Eurovision. Once in 2013, part of the group Moje Tri with Luba Viesfuda, or Love is Everywhere, placed 11th in the semifinal, so she didn't actually make it to the big
Ooh,
show.
Oh, that's rough.
But this year, in 2019, she placed 18th in the full final with Kruna. So Nevena Bozovic was one of the first first ones to really graduate.
A long time between that, too. That's like 10 years.
Well, 2007 to 2013 was the first jump. And then she did it again in 2019, so that would have been a 12-year split between her junior and this year.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. For Russia, the Tolmachevi sisters actually won the competition in 2006 with Springtime Jazz, or Visenye Jazz.
They don't have a word for jazz, huh?
It's just jazz.
He's just jazz.
He's just jazz, yes.
But then in 2014, so 8 years after they won at junior, they made it to Copenhagen with Shine, which was seventh in the final, which is really very cool.
That was a song.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
That was before, though. What was it like? What was the vibe?
You know, the twins from The Matrix Reloaded?
Oh, yes. Is that like it?
Russian.
Oh, okay.
It was the first thing that came to mind. It's not really a good comparison at all.
Let's see, another set of graduates, this time a trio of sisters. In Junior Eurovision 2007, Lisa, Amy, and Shelley, that's they just went by their first names.
Mm-hmm.
But
they lived together in a dorm, and then they did a Junior Eurovision act.
Well, yeah, so 2007, the three of them had the song Adem In, Adem Ut, which I think just means breathe in, breathe out, came in 11th place at junior. But then 10 years later, 2017, they actually made it to 11th place in the final. They had a name change, and they went by Ogene. We know them better as Ogene. In 2017, Lights and Shadows, the very Wilson Phillips-y type entry.
Okay.
Incredible harmonies between the three of them.
I thought you were going to say, now they're Lordy.
you know, I've never seen Lordy and Ogene in the same room at the same time.
Yeah,
like, I this is headcanon now.
That's
Lisa! Amy Shelley!
Wow.
It lines up too well, guys.
Yeah.
So, but one of my favorite graduate stories is multi-level. So, all right, so Junior Eurovision 2013, we had a kid named Michele Perniola, who sang for San Marino with the song, I believe, let me make sure I get this right, Oh, 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 sole intorno a me, or Oh, 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 the sun inside of me.
Oh.
The sun, like the shiny thing in the sky, not like
my future son living inside me.
That's not terrifying at all, no.
Yes.
a very sort of old school Michael Jackson-y kind of number. Like,
okay.
Yeah, but came in 10th place, which was kind of underrated in my opinion. The following year, you had Anita Simoncini singing for San Marino. She was actually Sam Aranese, which is, you know, one of five children who live in the country. And she was a member of a girl group who sang for San Marino called the Peppermints. And they had the song called Breaking My Heart, which was incredibly cute.
All right.
Incredibly cute.
This is 1955.
This sounds like something from Greece.
Was this selection A10 on the Malt Shop jukebox? Was this... What was it like?
No, it was you know, standard girl group.
Death metal.
Okay.
It was fine.
Death metal. Who's Lordy again?
Yeah.
All right, so 2014, Anita Simoncini was 15, because at the time, you could still be 15 at Sing a Junior.
Okay.
Between 2014 and the 2015 senior contest, she had turned 16. And she and Michele were selected to sing for San Marino at 2015, at Eurovision 2015 in Vienna.
Hmm.
So they sang the song Chain of Lights for San Marino, which came in 16th place in its semifinal with 11 points altogether.
Doesn't sound so good. Oh, boy.
Yeah. But the fact that she was able to, you know, I'm almost wondering if part of the reason that they closed that 15-year-old donut hole was to avoid a sort of Simoncini result.
Can't let ourselves get Simoncini.
Like a last year and this year kind of situation.
Yeah, within 6 months she was singing at senior.
Okay. But what's wrong with that?
I have no problem with it.
That's my thing too.
Especially for a country as small as San Marino.
They only have like four singers.
I know. Yeah. Two of them are Serhat.
Mm-hmm.
They could forge documentation. Nobody would know.
Yeah.
That is such a strange rule. Like, I know this is going back to the topic that we have seemingly already exhausted, but I just don't like that rule.
Neither do I.
I just don't like the rule that there has to be this year. Is it that they're looking out for the kids? like, possibly, during their teenage years or during their school years.
To me, it seems like it might just be an oversight that they just don't feel like correcting. No, for real. Like,
it would,
like,
just be a textual rule change.
Yeah,
that's it.
They obviously changed it from 15 down to 14, so why make the change in the first place? It was simply an oversight. It was purposely done. I just don't fully get the reason.
Yeah. It makes sense, though, that they would require a year off from one contest to the next.
That
must be their reasoning. Mm-hmm.
Like, potentially, like, double duty hosting or things? Like, uh-oh, we got competing 2 years in Poland. That's my, in general European voice. Oh, we gotta go back to Poland. What's going on? I don't know. That sounds more wow. like he's from the Bronx. I don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think that's Europe. I think that's
we're
just
veering
you.
Into Cosby territory. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Yikes. All right.
Though it does feel a little cruel to say, if you're singing, like, 6 months later, for someone who's essentially a child.
Yeah.
To, like, okay, you did that song, you went through this whole contest, now you're going to learn this other song, perfect it in 6 months, and then go to this other contest.
That is right. the thing that makes me think that they're just looking out for the kids themselves.
Which, I mean, granted, I'm all in favor of anything that looks after the welfare of these kids. And one of the great things about Junior Eurovision, and I had the luck of being part of the Junior Eurovision official team in 2014 and 2015, so I was, you know, really behind the scenes. I was actually working for the European Broadcasting Union those years. And I really got to see behind the scenes of the mood and everything. And I think a lot of the people who kind of poo-poo Junior Eurovision think it's a whole bunch of, like, we think of toddlers in tiaras with, like, stage moms and people, like, pulling the strings and the kids not enjoying what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That is not the case at all. These are genuinely kids who love what they're doing. They're having an amazing time. Because a lot of the delegations stay at the same hotel, all the kids get to know each other. Mm. They become really fast friends. The interactions between some of these kids, it's like they've known each other for years, and it's they've literally just gone through this program together.
So they're not doing this to, like, fulfill mom's failed dreams of glory?
Not that I saw in the 2 years that I attended.
Thank God.
I wonder, is the stage mom, like, a almost uniquely American phenomenon?
I can't tell you. I mean, I've you know, I've only been around youth singers from a small number of countries.
I feel like maybe it's just because we don't get a lot of movies from Europe, but it's just like that doesn't seem to be like a fictional trope that I have seen in a lot of European or British media. Like,
that would not surprise me if that was a egotistical American sort of thing. Leave it to Europe to be better than us. It's better than us. It's better than you and me.
Oh, okay.
Good. It's better than...
Junior Eurovision episode. We can't...
I guess.
Can't bring it in.
Well, Michael Rice was like 12, so...
All right.
All right. If there were rails for us to get back on, I'd say we should do that. But I don't know that we'd have...
So why don't we throw forward to what we're doing for Junior, which is kind of fun.
Yes.
We, over the next two episodes, are going to be reviewing the Junior Eurovision entries for this year. We're going to go basically in alphabetical order. Luckily, there are 19 songs. We'll do, you know, 9 and 10 or 10 and 9, whatever
we'll
we feel like
doing.
We'll
do 9 and then half of Malta. Then the next week, we'll do the second
half
of
Malta.
And Netherlands and everything else.
Perfect. Yes. Perfect.
Makes sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
So not stupid
gonna,
at all.
So we're just going to do a quick review program of these great songs. Half of us have seen / heard the songs. Half of us have not. Which half, you know, you'll find out yourself. My left arm has not seen Malta.
Just like with standard Eurovision, I am not going to expose myself to these songs until it's like day of.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come fresh with hot takes.
Ooh. Remember, they're kids.
Yes. These kids may be 12, but I'm still going to be dragging them.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
So you guys have that to look forward to in our next few episodes.
Yeah.
So Junior Eurovision 2019 will be held in Gliwice, Poland, November 24th. That is the Sunday before Thanksgiving for our American listeners, and the Sunday before Black Friday for everybody else who we've infected Black Friday with. My apologies.
Yeah.
That was Sam.
It was all my fault.
I thought Black Friday was the tiny little shopping fleas on the back of the rats that came in ships into various European...
Nearly a third of Europe was killed by Black Friday.
Black Friday.
No, they were killed by Rebecca Black's Friday.
That's oh, right. I see. Yes.
We'll never forgive her.
Yeah.
Man, what a throwback.
Yeah, oof. I know. Sorry. Not sorry. But yeah, until then, we've got some preparing to do. But we will catch you guys on our next episode when we review the first half of Junior Eurovision 2019. I know that. I'm excited, guys. What about you?
I'm super excited. This is the first one of these that I've really paid attention to, and I'm really excited. This is a fun contest. It really is. So we hope you'll listen.
By the time JESC is done, we're going to have so much more, a beginning, an actual steady trickle of real Eurovision stuff coming out. We'll know the songs, we'll know the performers, steady, little by little.
Yeah. Junior Eurovision is a great appetizer course for the big stuff that's about to come.
It's exactly how I was thinking about it.
Yep. But it's an amazing meal in its own right. It's a wonderful tapas tasting of all the wonders that the European music scene has to
nice
offer.
It's a nice salad.
Yes.
Okay.
In little tiny portions because, you know, they're kids.
Because of children.
I get it.
Little croutons.
Aww.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. If you would like to yell at us about this episode, because I know I do, I'm going to log on to my ghost Yahoo Mail account and yell at us again. Reach us again. You guys heard it earlier, but once again, we are 12pointsUSA on Twitter, at 12pointsUSA.
Mm-hmm.
On Gmail, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Eric and Sam have their classic Twitter. I'll never be on Twitter. It's a dying platform. No, it's dead.
No, it's not.
But until next time, we'll see you at Junior Eurovision. I am Danny.
I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
In America.
Stop listening now!
Rhythm inside! Din, 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 din. I put my rhythm inside, and now it's safe from bears.